Well, a couple other things, and we're done. The next thing he said to me is, he said, Lon, you need to go get baptized. I said, what? Baptized? I'm Jewish, man. Jewish people don't get baptized. He said, well, Jewish people don't believe in Jesus either, and you said you do that. I'm like, good point. Okay. So I went home and began thinking about it, and I thought, well, you know, if I mean business here, then I need to mean business here. I mean, you don't get half pregnant, and you don't become half a Christian. So if I'm serious about my relationship with Jesus Christ, then I read in the Bible where Jesus said you need to be baptized, and I said, okay, let's do it. He baptized me in a pond down in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And then I decided it was time to go tell my relatives. Well, that was a very interesting experience. I don't have the time to go deeply into it right now, but just let me say, everybody was not excited when I came home telling them that I'd given my life to Jesus Christ. They would have rather had me come home and say, you know, I've been using LSD 5 times a week, smuggling dope in from Amsterdam and almost got arrested. Okay, Lon, no problem. I believe in Jesus Christ. You what? That's kind of how the reaction went. But you know, over the years since then, I've had the privilege of leading my dad to Christ. My mother came to Jesus Christ before she passed away. And my only brother, my only sibling, is now an active Christian living for Jesus Christ today. So my entire nuclear family came to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, although it took 22 years of praying and sharing to see that happen. It was 22 years before my mom, the last of the group, came to know Jesus Christ. I want to just tell you 2 quick vignettes and then I'm done. The first is about my housekeeper. Back then, there was no politically correct language. We called her a maid. She was an African-American lady, wonderful woman. Her name was Coralie Goodman. And she looked, if you want a visual of Coralie Goodman, think of Mammy on Gone with the Wind. And that's what she looked like. And she was just one of the most precious women in my whole life. She came to work for my family when I was 2 months old and worked for my family all the way through the time I went to away to college. Now, Coralie Goodman was not an educated woman. She could not write her own name. She could not read. She could not drive a car. She was not an educated woman. But this woman, when I was a brand new Christian and I began hearing Christian songs, you know, like Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, and some of these very familiar songs, I remember thinking, wow, you know, I've heard that song somewhere before. Where have I heard that song? I mean, I knew they didn't sing it in the synagogue. So I thought, where have I heard that song? And I could remember when I was just a little thing, as Cora would be ironing or she would be fixing meals and as I would be tootling around her, that I could hear her humming these melodies. So I said, you know, I'll bet she's a Christian. So I hitchhiked up to Portsmouth, Virginia to find her. And I found her house. Remember, I got hair, big old afro out to my shoulder. She hadn't seen me in 3 or 4 years. And I knocked on her door and she pulled back the little curtain and closed the curtain right back up. And I knocked on the door again. She pulled the curtain back. And I said, Cora, let me in. It's Lonnie. That's what they called me back then. And she opened the door, still had the little chain on it. You know how they do, and looking out. And she said, what are you doing here? I said, Cora, I came up here to tell you that I've given my life to Jesus Christ. And she said, good God Almighty, honey. She said, come on in here. So I went on in and we sat down and I told her the whole story about how I'd come to Christ. And it was just a wonderful time. She's with the Lord now and has been for many years. But she said this to me. She said, Lon, I want you to know something. She said, I have been praying for you and your family since I came to work for you when you were 2 months old. Now, I'm 21 now as we're sitting having this conversation. She said, I have been praying for you and your family for now 21 years. She said, but honey, I never thought I'd see the day you become a Christian. I said, well, here I am. We had such a wonderful time together. You know, Cora went on to be with the Lord in 1975. But my mother, my father, and my brother all became Christians. And I'm convinced the reason my entire family came to Jesus Christ is because of this woman, this godly woman, who took us under her prayer wing and prayed for us faithfully until she died, which would then have been 25 years, and all of my nuclear family as a result came to Jesus Christ. As far as I know, this is the only Christian who was praying for me all those years. And friends, I don't believe that anybody becomes a Christian but that somebody's not praying for you. And I attribute my being a Christian today and my family being a Christian today to the prayer life of this dear African-American woman. Couldn't read, couldn't write, couldn't drive a car, but she could pray. And God bless her for that. One more story. Can I tell you in closing about how my dad came to Christ? I had the privilege of leading my dad to Christ just before he died. He was in the hospital down in Charlottesville, Virginia. My dad had a very serious heart condition. He had already had 3 heart attacks. The 4th one had killed him. And I'm already older today than my father was when he had his first heart attack. My mother had called me and said, your dad's in the hospital, he has hepatitis, he's very ill, you need to come see him. And she had made it sound very serious. So I rushed down to see my dad, praying all the way. I'd been a Christian now about 7 years. And I walked in the hospital room and my dad was sitting up eating a banana in the bed. And my first response was anger. You know, my mom did it to me again, you know. But I had a Jewish mom, and you know how that goes. And so, anyway, then we started talking, and my dad said, how's the weather? Fine. How's your wife? Fine. How's this? Fine. And I knew something was on his mind. You know, I just knew. So we exchanged a few pleasantries, and then he said, you know, Lon, he said, I've been doing a lot of thinking lately. And I said, well, Dad, I said, you know, thinking's good. It's good to think. He said, yeah, I've been thinking a lot about all this stuff you've been telling me about Jesus Christ. And I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, and I'm holding my breath. And he said, you know, and I'm beginning to wonder if maybe everything you're telling me isn't right. And I'm like, oh God, I don't believe this. I mean, you know how you pray for something and pray for something and pray for something? I was praying for my dad every day, sometimes twice a day, because I knew how sick he was. And, you know, I could get a call any minute that he had died unexpectedly from heart trouble. And suddenly here he is saying that. I felt like calling the nurse and saying, nurse, you know, clear the next bed here in the room. I need it. But I, you know, I said, oh Lord, please don't let me say something wrong now. And I said, Dad, there is no doubt in my mind that I'm right. I said, but why would, you've never been interested. You've never wanted to talk about this. You've always ignored all my conversations. Why all of a sudden are you saying you think I'm right? He said, well, Lon, I got to tell you. He said, I know I'm a sick man. He said, and I decided that I could find in Orthodox Judaism everything you found that you said you found in Jesus. So he said, I started going back to synagogue. He said, I started going back religiously. He said, I went to the high holy day services. I went to Rosh Hashanah. I fasted all of Yom Kippur, looking to find some assurance about what was going to happen to me after I die. See, for him, the issue was death. He was terrified of dying. And he said, I finally walked out of the synagogue after Yom Kippur services, the Day of Atonement. He said, I stood on the front steps of the synagogue. He said, and I said to myself, you know, he said, I don't have any more assurance of what's going to happen to me after I die now than I did before I went through all that ritual. The ritual's nice, but I don't have any assurance whatsoever. Maybe Lon's right. And I said, Dad, I am so sure I'm right, it's not even funny. And the next morning, I had the privilege of getting down on my knees next to my father's bed in the hospital. He got out of his hospital bed and got down on his knees. And the two of us prayed as he asked Jesus Christ into his life. He died 1 week later to the day. Never left the hospital. Had a heart attack in the hospital and died in the hospital. And the last time I saw him, I went down and saw him one more time before he passed. And he was hooked up to a trach and everything in intensive care. He couldn't talk. But he frantically wanted me to give him this little piece of paper, you know, with plastic over it where you can spell words out when you're in intensive care. It has the alphabet on it. And I gave it to him and he spelled this out. Because see, his number one issue was he wanted the assurance Jesus gave, but he didn't want to stop being Jewish. And we had to talk about that. And I had to say, Dad, you don't become a Gentile when you believe in Jesus. You're always Jewish. You complete everything that being Jewish is all about. So he got this sheet, and here he was. This is the last time my dad and I ever saw each other on the earth. He got this sheet, and he spelled out to me, L-O-R-D, Lord, A-N-D, and J-E-W, Jew. And I knew exactly what he was telling me. He was telling me, Lon, I've got the Lord in my life, but I'm still a Jew. And what a wonderful confirmation that even under the sedatives and even in intensive care, he still had enough presence of mind to spell that out to me and say, I know exactly where I am, Lon, and I've got Jesus Christ as part of my life. Well, folks, that's really about all I've got time to talk to you about. But let me just close by saying this. I'm convinced that the only solution to life's mysteries and the only way to have the assurance of eternal life and the only way to have the deep-seated joy and peace and contentment that we're all looking for in life. And I'm not saying that we don't have problems. You know, Christians have problems, but we have a joy and a peace that supersedes the problems. And the only way to live a life that's full of meaning and purpose, I am convinced, is to have a personal relationship with the God of Israel. And the only way to get a personal relationship with the God of Israel is through Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel. Jesus himself said, John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to God unless they come by way of me. Jesus said that. And if he's right, and I believe that he is, then the only way to get that personal connectedness with God is through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The only way to get answers to the universe and that deep-seated peace and the assurance of eternal life is through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Folks, I tried everything else. I tried them with equal commitment, equal passion, and equal openness to the idea that they were going to work. And if you can go try them all if you want to. I tried them all. And I'm here to tell you that the reason those things didn't work is because none of them were the true way to God. I found the true way to God, and I found it in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I believe, from my experience and from the truth of the Bible, that this is right. Any person who will give Jesus Christ a sincere chance to prove himself to them, Jesus will do it. I mean, as we mentioned earlier, my salvation prayer wasn't the greatest. My whole approach to God, making this deal for a month, God doesn't take kindly to making deals with him. But, you know, my heart was right. And if your heart's right, God will deal with you because man looks on the outward appearance. But thank God, God looks on the heart. If you're here today and in your heart, you haven't been able to find the things that I've talked about that I was looking for, and you've looked in many of the places I've looked, my invitation to you is to give Jesus Christ a sincere chance to prove himself to you. Just give him a chance. And if you're sincere, he will take you up on the opportunity and he will prove himself to you just like he did to me.